Welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I apologize for not getting any daily editorials up earlier today. It was kind of a crazy day back here in my household, as well, pretty much everything in Vancouver right now is shut, and that also includes daycares and really anyone to look after my daughter. So that falls on us, but hey, my wife can still go to work because she is a nurse, so at least people are rallying behind the medical staff. But boy, oh boy, this is an eerie world that we are living in right now. I'm chatting with Chris Temple, founder and editor of The National Investor. Chris, let's start off with U.S. equity market moves. It was a choppy day for the S&P, Dow, and NASDAQ. At one point, I think the Dow was down close to, if not a little bit over, 1,000 points, but it was fighting back halfway through the day and then sold off a little bit more in the last couple hours. What I'm seeing is the Dow closed about 3% down, the S&P about 3% down. But it really does feel like the U.S. equity markets, at least right now, are trying to put in some sort of a bottom. You and I talked about it last week. Let's get your thoughts on this choppy trading that we saw today in U.S. markets.
Well, look, Corey, everybody knows by now that we are going to have something that we don't even know what the shape of this thing is going to be yet. We're going to have some kind of a very deep, if perhaps by the hard numbers, short-lived recession that'll last for a couple or three quarters. We have coming, however, more of what I have already dubbed the strange depression. We had the Great Depression that was broad-based, affected everybody 90 years or so ago. This one is going to be the strange depression. It's not going to affect all parts of the economy and society the same. Some will thrive, some will die. I'm not talking people, I'm talking about parts of the economy. And there are going to be as many good things that come from this as bad, as I wrote in a special issue of my newsletter a little over a week ago that I put on my website when I talked about some of the changes coming, both good and bad. But, you know, that said, the stock market is not going to keep going all the way down in a straight line to zero unless you think we're all about to go into the netherworld, okay? So at some point after this kind of a straight move down, the market at some point has got to have some justification to at least stop falling and back and fill a little bit and clear its head and figure out, okay, we got over the initial panic, we got over the initial washout selling and the panic and all the rest of this stuff, and now let's start doing the very hard and imprecise so far work of figuring out what the economy and the market's going to look like months or even a few years down the road. And that's what we're trying to do. And I mean, I said it at the time, did a week ago Friday, when the stock market had been in free fall. And late in the day, President Trump and his crew came out with what at that time was belatedly, according to some, a more comprehensive arsenal to deal with all of the effects of the Chinese virus and the economic fallout and so forth. You had almost a 2,000-point rip in the Dow that day. And it seemed as though, okay, this doesn't mean by any means it was the end. Maybe it was the end of the beginning phase of this, if you will, but that we were going to try and find a bottom. But then we had the disappointment of the Fed's panic move that ensuing Sunday night, which caused everything to unravel again and then some. And even a couple times last week when there was attempts to rally, you couldn't do it. Then today we have the failure so far of Congress to pass the latest and biggest phase of their rolling bailouts and whatnot that they're going to have. And even there, you can take away some positive things from today. The Dow and the S&P were down about 3%. The NASDAQ was in the green almost all day long, only closed down a little bit. Small cap stocks for a change were down only about a third as much as the Dow and the S&P 500. Oil was up. Gold and silver were up. Of course, that had more to do with the Fed moves today. So, you know, we're slugging out, again, the end of the beginning, if you want to look at it that way, the end of the first phase of what will be a secular bear market. And maybe we've reached the bottom. You know, if we get down to 2030, Corey, on the S&P 500, we're not too terribly far from that right now. That's 50% retracement of the entire bull move from the low in March of 2009. That's big stuff. So I think in the end, we're going to realize that that was warranted, that kind of a move down. And when all is said and done, we may go somewhat lower still before the secular bear market is over. But at least for now, you know, I think that we're starting to see with this differentiation of behavior of different sectors of the market and stocks going down, gold stocks going up, and oil was even up today. So I think we're getting into a bit more constructive environment, even though we're by no means out of the woods.
So, Chris, do you think when it comes to instilling at least a little bit of confidence in traders' minds or those that are sitting with cash on the sidelines, we've talked about it, the Fed is not instilling any confidence with any of their moves, and it seems like whatever they do seems to hurt the markets. But in terms of the government side, yes, we have this emergency funding bill that seems to be stalled today, but does it have to come out of something in terms of the government, the U.S. government getting something passed, some sort of emergency funding to build at least a little bit more confidence in traders' eyes?
Well, that's very necessary. And even though the market came off of its lows today, despite the inability still of the parties in Washington to reach an agreement, you know, I think maybe the stock market gives the lawmakers, you know, another couple or 3 days. If we can't get out of this week without this measure being passed, which is going to send checks to Americans, it's going to backstop different industries, it's going to help small business and stuff, then we may still see a lot more in the way of declines near term until they get it done. You know, everybody has made the comparison, and properly so, at least as far as the pattern of things, to the aftermath of the 2008 crash, when the TARP bill to bail out the banking system and a lot of Wall Street was in front of Congress. They voted it down the first time. And at the time, the stock market dropped another 10% or whatever it was on that news until it, you know, scared the hell out of the lawmakers enough that they said, okay, fine, we give in. We'll bury the hatchet and push our differences off to the side and we'll pass it. One of the reports today was that the Democrat side is wanting, among other things, to attach climate beneficial measures to an airplane industry backstop or an airline industry backstop, where you would add to the bailout that we're giving the airlines some type of new requirements of how quickly they need to reduce emissions and this kind of thing. I don't know if that's true. All right. I heard one senator from the Republican side today talking about that, and he wasn't part of the direct negotiations, and it was only a rumor that he had heard as well. But clearly, this is not a time for those kind of things that the Democrat Party in this case might want to do for their various interest groups that support them. So I think in the end, they'll figure all of this out and properly sweep the things under the rug that need to be for right now. Look, the response to this, Corey, and I've said this where the Fed's concerned, and I still say it even though they're not in agreement yet, where the government is concerned, they are going to throw everything, including the kitchen sink and a neighbor's kitchen sink, at this. We are going to see massive injections of capital into the markets by the Fed. We're going to see massive fiscal measures by the government. And, you know, so that's one of the differences today, and one of the reasons, instead of what's coming being the Great Depression, it's going to be the Strange Depression.
Yeah. Boy, oh boy, it's already strange out there, as I said in the intro.
Yeah.
Yeah, this depression, and hey, the market is pricing in something pretty drastic here. We just don't know how long this depression, recession is going to last, unfortunately, and that's the big uncertainty right now. Let's move over to something that was actually moving up today. Gold had its best day in over a decade. The gold stocks also moved up, but they did sell off a little bit at the end of the day. We'll get into that later, but comments on gold right now around 1560 on the futures market. That's where it closed. This is a strong move for gold. Is this almost an all clear for investors looking at the sector saying, hey, there's a little bit, or there is some upside here?
Well, I don't know that it's an all clear to, you know, back up the truck and be buying heavily right now, particularly where the gold stocks are concerned. But I do believe, Corey, that the downside danger is now pretty much gone if you believe that the stock market is slugging out a bottom and that we're not going to see another big waterfall decline that would cause the, you know, everything else to get hit like what we saw a couple or 3 weeks ago. So you had the Fed come out and tell us that they're now going to get behind municipal bonds. They're going to get behind corporate bonds, corporate bond ETFs. This is on top of last week getting behind the money market funds and commercial paper market, unlimited dollar swap lines, unlimited quantitative easing of treasuries and mortgages. And as I quipped last week, I don't remember if I made this comment with you, but you know, when all is said and done, where the Fed is concerned and whatever powers they don't have, they will be cheerfully given these powers by either the Treasury or the Fed. If you have a poker party that you go to every week, and one of your buddies, Charlie, went all in on a hand and it blew up on him, he lost, and he hand wrote an IOU to you and says, "Sorry, Corey, I'm not flush right now with money, but here's my IOU. When I'm flush, I'll pay you." Don't even wait for Charlie. Take it to the Fed's discount window and Powell will give you the cash. He'll make it good. That's where this is going to go. So just as we saw in the wake of 2008, gold was the first asset class out of the box back then when the deleveraging, the waterfall declines, which hurt gold with everything else, were over with. And it was for the same reason as far as the pattern is concerned. The idea, well, not really the idea, the reality that the Fed was going to be printing all this money and so forth. But I'll give you the same warning that I did last time around, where a lot of people overstayed their welcome in what was a monster rally for the gold space for a while. Don't buy the garbage that people are telling you yet again, this time around, that, oh, here we go, we were wrong in 2008, 9, and 10, but this time they really are going to give us hyperinflation. So you got to get into precious metals. Well, by the time the hyperinflation showed up a couple or 3 years after the financial crisis in 2008, it didn't go where the gold bug Pied Piper said it was going to go. It went into reblowing asset bubbles in stocks and bonds and derivatives and everything else. And when it didn't show up where they all said it was going to show up, that's when everybody started selling the gold space. And the people that didn't understand that overstayed their welcome and rode everything all the way back down and then some. Understand that today, the same thing is going to happen. Yes, for a while, we're going to see gold and that sector lead, but there's going to be a lot of moving parts to this. And the takeaway for today, Corey, is that even though the Fed is going to increase its balance sheet by several trillion dollars in the time ahead, even though the deficit out of Washington is going to go up two or three times or whatever, maybe more, don't forget the fact that as of this weekend, if you look globally, and I'm talking only about the conventional fixed income and stock markets of the world, I'm not talking about derivatives and all the shadow banks and everything that they have lost, $25 trillion was vaporized in about the last month. So don't lose sight of the fact, especially when you hear some of the usual suspects beating the drums again, we got hyperinflation coming. For the Fed and the other central banks to start throwing a few trillion back at this, all they're doing is somewhat mitigating the deflation that has already occurred and that is going to be with us for years, potentially, as a result of this strange depression that will now be unfolding. So at some point when all of this money printing and whatnot does get traction, don't think it's going to be predominantly in precious metals. They're going to do well, no question about it. But especially later, when you see stock markets recover, you see copper recover, which I don't think it broke $2 today, but it was getting damn close. You see oil recover at least somewhat. That's going to take the oxygen right back out of the room like we saw about 2011 when gold peaked. So for a while, yes, you got a good trade here. The downside certainly is pretty much wrung out where gold and even gold stocks are concerned. Going forward, I want to see another close like we had today and more decisively regain that what had been a resistance level then for a little while was support, around 1550 to 1570. We get above that, momentum starts to come in. You're going to want to be aggressive trading at least back into the gold space.
All right, but not the all clear yet. And hey, fair enough. You need to look at that chart too and understand that there's quite a bit of damage done to the gold chart. And also these stocks, if you're looking at GDX, GDXJ, they're still trading within this range. And boy, oh boy, I know just on my screen, looking at the juniors, which we have talked about, it's a totally different game. You need to be very selective down on those. This is in no way one of those rising tides lifting all ships. And I don't think we're really close to that, but there are some opportunities here. But let's see what the follow through is the rest of this week and just really see what happens. I think mostly from a governmental side of things to see what traders or how traders feel moving throughout this uncertain time. We're going to be chatting throughout this week as we always do, but boy, oh boy, crazy time right now. Thanks for your time, Chris.